Previously on Rolling on Fate.
I've witnessed my fair share of bizarre happenings in my life, but things have really taken a turn recently. All I wanted to do was make some easy gold in the capital and get back on the road, possibly head back across the sea, but no. I had to go and get mixed up in some adventure with a band of would-be heroes. How was I supposed to know that there would be a swarm of undead in Sleepy Landrin? I was there to get paid and get out. Certainly wasn't expecting to have to fight my way through the tavern, buy a cart and some horses, and start heading back toward the capital. Okay, sure, I didn't actually fight, but you're missing the point. Oh, don't give me that look. You didn't fight either. And don't get me started on John. No, not the glowing one. No, not the barkeep. That's Jonathan. And no, of course I don't mean you. That Elvin Smith, sitting there smacking his little anvil, should have just stolen his damn cart. Yes, I know I've tried to put those days behind me, but that twerp was asking for it. And why are we out here running into forests chasing down muffled sounds? What am I supposed to do, sing some bugbears to death? People should listen to me more often. Our furry companion Taylor nearly rotted away for his troubles. We couldn't even catch up to that hooded figure before they disappeared. I need to give me a cloak like that. Look, don't worry your little heads, John. I'll keep you safe. Now, get back in the box, little one. I'll speak with you again soon.
Something I would definitely like to do immediately.
Yes.
And that is to ask Taylor to grab the other sack, open it up, and bring the other person inside to me so I can begin administering to them.
Yeah, we'll collect the bags.
So I'm going to start with the dwarf woman to see what her condition is.
She's unconscious. Looks like she got hit on the head when she was dropped, but doesn't look like she took too much damage. She's just basically stunned. But okay. You can do a medicine check for more.
That is what I would like to do. That would be an 18.
She's stabilized, and she's slowly waking up.
All right.
The female dwarf, they don't look dirty. I mean, they have ragged clothing, but it looks like it was what they were wearing.
They're not, like, blood-covered.
They are not covered in blood. It looks like the female dwarf maybe has a couple of other bruises on her, as maybe she got hit. But she's, like, slowly opening her eyes. The female dwarf that is below you, Marion, slowly opening her eyes up. Tio? Theron? And she's just sort of freaking out, like, looking around.
Now, calm. I'm actually going to cast Calm Emotions on her.
Okay.
Second level spell.
She fails the DC.
Mm-hmm.
Can you tell me what happens?
Calm Emotions. You attempt to suppress strong emotions in a group of people, each humanoid in a 20-foot radius sphere.
She's calm. It looks like she starts relaxing and looking up at you, Marion, and...
I only got a minute to do this. I said, it's okay. Tell me real quick what happened, and bring the other... Who is in the other bag, since I'm assuming John was working on that while I was doing this?
John, you open the small sack in front of you, the one that you shoulder checked. It is
the small child you murdered.
A small...
small dead child.
Dwarf child.
Like,
epic
like
heroes.
A legitimate question. He attacked the bag, and he was on fire when he did it. Does it take radiant damage?
Yeah, the bag has been taking radiant damage. So the child on the inside looks unconscious.
You mean corpse.
is not dead. You're not a healer, but you can see that he still is breathing. But who knows how much longer?
John reaches down and uses his ability, Lay on Hands, to heal the child 3 hit points.
The little boy... gasp. Who are you? But where am I?
Is it a dwarven child?
Yeah, it is a dwarven child.
Okay.
Mom?
Said he's
Dad?
Right over here. Bring him over.
He's just looking at you, John, and like terrified at the giant that's in front of him.
Hold on. I think your parents are over here. And I like turn him around to face them.
Okay.
The other dwarves. Right? They're like over that way.
Do I see? One is currently in a bag, and one is laying down inside of a bag. So
I can't see them, though. I thought he took her out of a bag.
He just opened.
I got the mother is out of the bag.
Okay.
The cat's out of
That's
the bag.
That's not how that saying goes. The dwarves are out of
the
bag.
So I can see her, the lady dwarf, on the ground.
Yes.
Okay. So I spin him around. I'm like, your mom's over there, I think.
Oh, all right. And then he starts walking towards that direction, and he's warily looking at John, who is half covered in blood, and also looks
he's
at
probably like a third covered
Taylor, and he looks weirded out by the sort of raccoon face that you have currently, because you're in your non-combat shift. And he looks at the tiefling, who is standing over his mom, but then...
to be fair, I'm kneeling, ministering
okay,
to
kneeling,
her.
But then he immediately sees his mom, and he runs over and hugs her. Is anyone doing anything about the other bag?
Where is it? Do we see it?
I'm going to try and viciously mock the bag.
With a spell?
You suck. You ain't nothing bad. You're just like your father.
John, you go open the other bag, and it is a unconscious male dwarf, and he looks way more beat up. There seems to be more cuts on him, and he seems to be bleeding from a few wounds, and you don't know if he's dead or not.
John casts Cure Wounds and heals the male dwarf for 10 hit points.
He wakes up. And he is dazed. He has no idea where he is.
They're over here.
He looks at you. He starts looking around. Agatha? Tio?
Everybody's okay. Everybody, you're fine.
You sort of get them all together, and they have a small little family reunion. They're hugging each other. They had thought that they were dead. They're just sort of consoling each other.
Ainsley's head pops out from the bush. What happened? Did we win? And then walks over to them all, because I realized I hadn't moved over yet.
That black sphere is still there.
It's still there?
It is.
Aw, damn it.
Emanating its necromantic energies.
Guys, can we move away from the sphere of death, please?
So I assume that you guys are all heading back towards the carts?
Yep, we're going to walk towards the carts.
As you guys are walking away, it seems like the sphere of necrotic energies is sort of dissipating away. Seems to get weaker and weaker and weaker until it just stops. Did you say you only had a minute on the common emotions?
Yeah.
Okay, so that's over.
Yeah, she can go back to screaming now.
They don't, because they're all together. They've been reunited, and they realize that you guys are not there to kill them. You saved them. As you guys walk away, you learn that their names are Agatha, Theron, and Theo. Theo is only about 5 years old, and he is the child of Agatha and Theron.
Plot twist, the child's also kidnapped.
Theron talks to you. We were, headed on our way to Revelhind, and this sort of hooded figure was just in the road, and these bugbears came from the trees, and they just started grabbing us, and I tried to fight them off, but they just overpowered me, and they put us in those sacks and dragged us away, and I don't know why. I don't know what was going on.
Did you notice the hooded figure, what his face looked like at all?
No, I didn't. He was at a far distance, and his face was in shadow, and I didn't see.
None of you saw?
No.
Okay. When I looked at him, he looked like scaly. I'm telling this to everyone.
They were talking this weird language that I didn't understand.
Yeah, same here. Well, unfortunately, he got away, so he might try to do this to somebody else. I give the little boy a carrot.
We were attacked just right here on the road. We didn't have any horses or anything, and we were just walking along together as a family. We had a few packs and gear, but I don't see it. And she starts sort of like looking around the forest, but is sort of disheartened because she can't see anything right there.
I have a question for you, Matt.
Yes?
Do we know, like, is there, like, law enforcement for the roads like this? Like, if we went to Revelhine and we, like, reported this, would they send people out?
They could.
They'd probably send us.
Depending on, yeah.
But then they would pay us. I give them all carrots.
You give each one of them a carrot?
Yes. They're probably hungry.
The boy looks at the carrot, and he eats it happily, and the female dwarf refuses and, like, points at the boy. Just give him another one, please. Thanks. He can have mine.
I, like, side-eye the mom as I, like, give the boy the rest of my carrots.
Rest of your carrots? You have a lot of carrots.
Wait, how many did I have?
Five... Or 10 gold pieces worth of carrots.
So that, like, five carrots. A bag
of carrots over.
No, you have a lot of carrots.
Can you tell me a number so I can put it in my inventory?
God.
You have 25 carrots.
Do you guys hear that? 10 gold pieces for 25 carrots.
You bought a variant of vegetables.
Okay.
They skimped you on the carrots is what we're hearing. They gave you all that tainted romaine lettuce.
Yeah, apparently.
That's not going to date this.
Yeah. When this comes out 2 months later.
They'll be like, what kind of joke was that? I give him 5 carrots.
Okay. You give the boy 5 carrots.
Okay.
And he will munch on them throughout the day. How fast do you travel now?
Yeah, we probably want to get away from here since that necromancer guy got free.
You want to go at a trot or a fast pace?
Trot, please.
Trot. It is.
Can I have been entertaining the child with minor illusion the whole time?
Sure, give me a performance roll.
9.
He seems a little bit disinterested. Like, he was interested at first.
Maybe.
Like, oh, cool magic. But then he starts realizing that you're kind of creepy.
That you're made of fungus?
So he's getting maybe a little bit
creeped
out.
I can just tell you what the
out.
Illusions look like.
Okay.
They're dancing mushrooms.
Okay, he's creeped out.
And then I make the make dancing carrots, too.
He
like with bites out of them.
He holds the carrots even closer to him and is, like, shrieking away. Like, he nuzzles
in. I use minor illusions to make the carrots scream when he bites them.
No. I don't do that much.
Crunch.
That's horrible.
He is, like, snuggling up to his mom and trying to... He's, like, keeping an eye on you and still watching but not.
Can I give him a cup of water and...
Also, are you riding celery while doing this, like, off
no,
the side of the
I'll
cart?
Have, no, I'll like... Yeah, that's what I'm doing.
Okay.
I'm riding side saddle, but no, without a saddle.
I'm riding side elk.
Yes, side elk.
That's what we call it.
All right, so you guys get to your camp.
Once I'm set up and everybody's reasonably comfortable, I'm going to take out my black-bound book and begin to read and take notes.
I make a little campfire and light it with prestidigitation. Someday I'll have to pronounce that right.
Prestidigitation.
Prestidigitation.
Fanula should just sound like Elvis. That'll make it easier. I'll cast prestidigitation.
And then I make
oh, thank you.
Some soup.
How can you touch the iron
pot? I'm making
pot,
it with a ceramic pot. Do I have a ceramic pot?
You currently
it's
do
also
not.
Made of oh. mushroom.
No, we decided.
Yeah, I just good. Put yeah. a big mushroom on the fire and put water in it.
That's horrible.
I'm going to try to make a little camp set up for the three companions that we've picked up on the trail and make sure
they're
comfortable.
I try to give the boy the mushroom soup that I made. I flavor it like hot chocolate with my prestidigitation.
Is it a hot
what does
chocolate?
He do?
It's hot chocolate mushroom soup served in a smaller mushroom, cooked in a bigger mushroom.
Matt's rolling because he doesn't know what to do.
He does not like it. He doesn't like it.
And then the visions start.
Don't joke about that. Don't look at me.
I can see the future, Mother.
I don't know how true that is.
Yeah, what
the intertwining
did you
of past and present.
I used benign-looking giant mushrooms I found.
Benign-looking?
I know mushrooms.
Okay.
Right?
I
how
know
different
what's
are
safe
they?
For him to eat. He's... He's hallucinating. I stand by what I said.
If he doesn't want it, then I'll eat it.
Okay.
Do I hallucinate?
Ames, you doing anything special?
I'm probably going to work on my ammo. Just get restocked.
Okay, Peleus, doing anything?
I'm very entertained by the mushroom soup.
To say I the offer least. Some
Are
to
you partaking of the mushroom soup?
You know, actually, yeah. I do need some new inspiration, as it were, for my new piece that I'll be working on. So, yeah, I'll partake, if for no other reason than to entertain the child by spitting it out everywhere.
Oh, Fanula looks like really insulted.
Hello, and welcome to episode 6. Yeah, I know we finally made it this far. This one's a bit shorter, but that's all right. Remember, you can check out our continent map and follow along with wherever our adventurers go. Also coming soon is the map of Revelhine. You can find those at facebook.com/groups/rollingonfate, twitter.com/rollingonfate, and rollingonfate.tumblr.com. If you would like to support our creative endeavors, you can donate to our Patreon at patreon.com/rollingonfate. Currently on there, we have some bonus material for our patrons, including a little bit of backstory for Marion Kind. If you share our podcast on Twitter, Tumblr, or Facebook using the hashtag #RollingOnFate, I might name a character after you. I'm always in need of NPC names, and it's also a great way to let others know about the podcast. Thank you all for listening. The next episode will be up Wednesday, April 17th. And now, back to our regular scheduled programming.
You have your watches. Who's on first watch as everyone's going to sleep?
I can go on first
watch. I'll do it.
Ames and Fanula.
We'll all do it.
I'll look over at Ames. What is she? Is she like really busy doing something, or is she like, what's she doing?
Probably cleaning her guns, looking around, just watching the stars.
Fanula will lean over, I guess, and she'll just be like, "So, where are you from?"
Oh, I spent the majority of my life in Revenheim.
Oh, cool.
So kind of going back home.
Oh, nice. Maybe you can show us around. I've only been there a couple times.
Long time ago.
Sure. I know the two, the lower and medium area pretty well. I don't really go up to the high spot.
What's the high spot?
Oh, it's just a bigger area with the big portal, church, and just usually has a lot more security.
Oh.
A lot of the fancy people shops.
Fancy people shops. Interesting. Have you ever heard of a black market?
Oh, I've heard people talk about it. I mean, not really in full amounts, but it sounds really cool.
Oh, yeah. I look really excited. I would love to go find that sometime when we're there. I bet it's really interesting.
I mean, I don't see a reason why not. We can check it out, see if we can find it. I don't know. I've never really gotten a lot of information, so I'm not sure how much help I can be.
Oh, that's okay. I'm sure we can talk to someone useful somewhere, figure it out.
Okay.
Cool. Well.
What do you want on the black market?
Oh, and not anything specific. I just want to check it out. There might be, like, cool artifacts and stuff there.
Second watch, who's taking it?
I'll do it.
I want to as well.
And I will heal myself and then go on watch.
Okay.
Can I do watch and burn a hit die to heal myself? Considering it
like
a rest?
Short rest, sure. Yeah, yeah.
Cool. Marion, I just gotta thank you for pulling me out of there. I just felt this incredible... It was like my body was crawling with disease and everything went black, so I owe you my life. Thank you.
I don't think you owe me but nothing, Taylor. I wouldn't be too concerned about it.
Well, I wouldn't feel right if I didn't say something about it, so thank you for taking care of, well, what needed to be done.
That's what it's all about, isn't it? The doing that needs to be done.
Peleus, I have a question. Where did you put your tuba? I never saw you carrying kind of case, and...
That's a good question, considering that I have been dreading its reappearance.
Did you leave it behind?
You know, I seem to have also misplaced my flute, now that I think about it. Not
to mention your violin.
Yeah, I... Oh, all right. So, okay. Wherever could I... The cart, maybe? Like, it's probably... Okay. So, you two, listen. I don't really know how to explain this to either of you, but... You see this rod, and I gesture intimately toward my chest.
Well, at least it was towards
your
chest.
Yes, right. I didn't want to go too lowbrow with this, or too low in general.
Cha-cha. Well, it would have been weird if you pointed at your feet.
Yeah, that would have been a little awkward. This here rod is actually quite magical, I think. I mean, it seems to be for me anyway. So whatever I endanger and feel like I need to, I don't know, entertain myself or those around me or insult bugbears in the forest, I can actually make this turn into any instrument that I can think up. Let me show you real quick. And I just speak, you know, lute to my rod, you know, as I'm wont to do. And Marion and Taylor get to watch my rod turn into to come
I'm
to
so
attention.
Immature.
Yeah. And gleaming in across the face of my new lute is the red sparkles that have come to, you know, denote any of the instruments that I use. You can see it in the firelight. And I strum it gently just to play a little bit of a tune. When I'll do this actually while Taylor's taking his short rest, and he gets a bonus to that.
Well, I rolled pretty well, so I only need one extra hit point.
Shh. It's the bonus from me. Shh. Let me soothe you, child. And
soothe me with your rod?
Yeah, absolutely. Just take a look at my rod, and you get an extra 1d6 hit point at the end of the rest.
Ooh,
but
boy.
Yeah, it's exciting.
Beautiful.
Yeah, I acquired this some time ago, and it's kind of just been a secret of mine for some time. I mean, it's not nearly as exciting as a two-headed worm, but it seems to do all right by me.
There are a few things as exciting as a two-headed worm.
Taylor and Marion, as you examine the lute more closely, it looks metal. And you've never seen...
Hell yeah, it's metal.
A lute, for that matter, made out of metal. But when he strums it, it still has like the warm, vibrant tone as a wooden instrument.
My rod is warm and vibrant, yes.
I was going to say, wouldn't that weigh hundreds of pounds and sound horrible?
Yeah, you would think so, actually. Yeah, that would make a lot of sense, but you'd be wrong. It actually only weighs a few pounds. It's quite nice. I haven't yet used it to hit anyone with, although I imagine that would actually be really quite useful, given the circumstances. But
so if it becomes an instrument that you've never played before, are you able to play it? I mean, does it have to be something that you are already trained in?
Well, fortunately for me, I'm trained in quite a few instruments, but I've never been able to try and turn it into anything that I'm not familiar with, no.
I was going to take it one step further and ask you if you're capable of making it turn into an instrument that you cannot conceive of and then be proficient in playing it, or if that would make it explode.
I've never even thought to do that. Mostly, my biggest concerns most of the time, Marion, are money, and so really I try and focus on ways to entertain crowds to make more money, not will it blend? You know, I don't really care about anything quite like that. So,
are you telling me that you don't spend countless hours standing around waiting to see how you can make your rod explode? Mm.
No, I've yet to try and turn it into anything that is out of my comprehension.
Good to know. But it seems like simple pursuit of funds is a waste of your talents.
Oh, I've just tried, recently gone that route. It's been a rough life for the most part, so pursuing fun for a brief spell is worth it for now, though.
Is that why you were talking to the gentleman at the inn?
Oh, no, we were merely discussing business.
Well, and what business would that be?
It's private business. He was admiring my rod.
Deception check.
Cool, I get to roll inside.
Can I assist in this insight check?
You can roll a separate one.
Okay. 26.
Oh, God.
Yeah, nat 20, also 26.
Oh,
wow. Ooh. I rolled a 15.
Taylor, something's a little bit off. I mean, it's Peleus. He seems like he's being a little bit weird, but also something's a little bit off about what he's saying. But
To be fair, I don't think I was trying terribly hard to be deceiving. I thought it was pretty flat. Bald face that I was just not wanting to discuss the topic.
How far are we through our watch at this point?
It's coming close to an end.
I will finish my little hit die healing, whatever that was. I'm back to full health.
And I'm going to hum Don't Ting to myself while we finish the watch here.
With my other two companions on watch, I'm going to feel comfortable enough to try to make a few more notes about the book.
The night passes on with no trouble. You guys wake up in the morning. Everybody is fully healed. And it looks like your new compatriots also look a little bit better, seeing how as they all got a full night's rest. So you guys continue onward. And I'm going to say that as you move your way to Revelhein, nothing else is going to come up. And there's going to be a few more people along the road. So there's going to be no more trouble unless you guys, for some reason, like to start some trouble. And I'm also going to assume that Fenuela is wearing her hooded cloak and that Ames has her mask activated.
Is this the day we're going to Revelhein?
You guys will be, yes.
Well, I would hope that Ames would have the mask activated because I don't know how the dwarves would react to having a kobold in their midst. Mm. Savior or not.
Yes. So, Ames, are you having your mask activated
all the time? Yes, it's going to be active the entire time right now.
Good to know.
I have my cloak on, but my skin looks different, and my face looks different.
Please explain to the microphone. How does it look?
It looks like skin.
But not really.
Gross.
It's a dark brown and purpley. My hair is like a pink fungus-looking thing. That's like branchy, like coral, like a coral fungus. My skin is like a peat color, like a dark brown, and it's like I don't know how to describe the texture, like peat.
Peat moss.
Like a peat bog.
Peat bog. Okay.
But I also have like little wildflowers growing out of my skin, and like purple heather color, like kind of. Like textural on my skin and stuff.
Yep. So she looks the same. Her facial structure is the same. Her body is still the same. Just her color and texture all around her looks different.
Oh, and there's like flowy grasses that are like dropping little seeds too. Basically making weeds everywhere. I'm like humming to myself and like making food and trying to give the boy more mushroom soup.
I think Ames is going to probably excitedly jump over to Fenuela and be like, oh, what? Hey, yeah. You changed.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Do you do that on purpose? Like, is it changing your clothes? Or does this just kind of happen depending on time of day? Or, how does this work?
It's kind of like just how I'm feeling. I'm really excited about the black market in Revelhein.
Aw! Okay, well then, yeah, sure, we'll have to find it. So this is your excited look?
Basically.
Do I overhear them talking about the black market in Revelhein?
I'm not being that subtle about it, honestly.
Yeah, you totally hear it, Felius.
Ladies, I would not actively go seeking the black market in Revelhein.
Why not?
Nuna, why are you so excited to find this black market, as you call it? And how do you know what that is?
That is an excellent
question. I've never heard a mushroom ask about a black market before.
I just look a little confused, like why he would think that I didn't know about the black market.
So she turns Psyduck then yellow is what you're saying.
What was I going to say before?
Sorry.
I started thinking about Pokemon.
Sigh?
Well, I want to go to the Black Market because there's probably really interesting artifacts there.
There certainly are. There are going to be very few artifacts nearly as interesting as you, however. And so I'm very concerned that if we, I don't know, go poking around for the Black Market, which I absolutely know nothing about, you might actually be acquired yourself.
Well, I'll wear my cloak and you don't have to come.
I think it's, if we're going to the Black Market, anyone's going to the Black Market, I think that I should go along with you.
Okay. All right, so he's going to come too. I look at Ames and I'm like, he's coming too.
Ah, that's sweet.
I'm so excited.
Yeah, it'll be just a great time. We'll have so much fun. So many fun memories.
I'm like nodding. Yes.
Yeah, not at all picking up on the deception whatsoever. It's just gonna be.
I was gonna ask if I could roll insight.
I'm not even trying to pick up on it. Right? I don't care.
Is he in fact a lying bag of crap?
I got a 22 on insight.
Oh, I assuming that Noodle doesn't quite get kind of facial expressions and kind of slight, I'm just kind of looking at Amesley, very obviously to her, I would assume, making it look like this is not a good idea, but I'm willing to go along all the same.
Sure. That still stands, but roll a deception check out.
24.
Yeah, those are both pretty high scores. But, I mean, something's a little bit off, but then he's also doing that facial thing to you, and
that like the pointed kind of like, look,
yeah.
Thing.
Actually,
would you like to do an insight check?
Yeah, because can I do an insight check to see if I can pick up like maybe he's been there and he before?
Sure. Give me an insight.
19.
He was kind of telling the truth, maybe. That you think
that he's just saying that it's a bad idea, but he'll come with us.
Yes.
All of that.
Everything he said.
Okay. Cool. I'm still excited.
Cool. All right. So you guys slowly, at a trot, make your way towards Revelhine, and you see it growing in the distance on sort of this last day, and it's sort of midday, and
the city emerges into view as the party comes to a gentle rise. From this height advantage, you all look out on the vast, sprawling city. This is much more dense and wide than the last time that you, Taylor, Vanuola, and Marion have been here. However, John, Amesley, and Peleus all recognize the familiar landmarks. The city walls separating the lower, middle, and upper districts. The two large towers in the central part of the city with the glowing white domed building of the Church of the Rift to their side. The dense, compacted homes of the lower district all radiating out from the realm of Tucson's Rift entrance. You see the warehouses and the smoke from the ever-constant forges in the factory district. The Torfane River runs along the city's western side, and farming fields circle the entire city that you can see. Welcome to the city of Revelhine.